Good morning. I'm Jim Packard, in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about Wisconsin's wetland gems with Katie Bielfuss, who is Outreach Program Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, which has selected 100 wetland sites in the state to recognize and celebrate. And Katie, it's a real pleasure to have you here in the studio today.
Thank you so much, Jim. The pleasure is mine.
What was the reason for compiling and publishing this list in the first place?
Well, there's a persistence of negative historical perceptions about wetlands, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this, because they're, in fact, beautiful, wonderful places that provide wildlife habitat, they clean our water, they store floodwaters, and they provide wonderful recreational opportunities for us. But people think of mosquitoes when they think of wetlands. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to provide an opportunity for the people of Wisconsin and the region to get out and explore some of these wetland gems, to find real examples in their communities where they can go see the wonderful diversity that wetlands offer.
Mm-hmm. What does the selection of these 100 sites represent, and I guess how were they picked?
Certainly, that's a great question. And what we were aiming to do is show that there's a variety of wetlands don't come in just one shape and size. There's a variety of different kinds of wetlands. Some of them have trees, some of them have open water, some of them don't have open water. And some of the confusion that we run into with regard to wetlands is that some of the wetlands don't look like wetlands to many people. And so part of the reason for selecting the sites is to choose sites that represent the diversity of wetlands that have, we have wooded wetlands, we have ephemeral ponds, we have alder thickets, which are shrubby wetlands, we have sedge meadows and wet prairies. So to try to help folks understand the diversity and be able to get to see that on the landscape. So the selection process drew on a number of existing planning documents done by the Nature Conservancy and done by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, a number of different plans, and also the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. So these groups had gone through and selected conservation sites, both for the natural communities that they protected, but also for the species and habitats that they protected. Went through those planning documents and pulled out the sites that were wetlands, and with really important assistance from some fine ecologists over at the Department of Natural Resources, winnowed that list down to 93 sites that we've recognized for their ecological value.
And then you've added 7 more sites for a particular reason?
That's correct. We have what we call our workhorse wetlands, and each of these wetlands represent one of the 7 functional values of wetlands. And in addition to providing wildlife habitat and clean water, wetlands also provide a number of, some people call them ecological services or functional values to our communities. Wildlife habitat is one, fisheries habitat is another, but then some more functional values include flood attenuation, the storage of floodwaters, water quality protection, shoreline protection, groundwater connections, and recreation and education. So each of those 7 sites were selected because they were particularly good examples of those values. And I should point out that all wetlands in Wisconsin provide some, if not all, of those values to our communities. But these were 7 examples that are located near to urban areas that have good access for the public, where people can see particularly good examples of those functional values in action. And one of them is right here in Madison. It's the Pheasant Branch Conservancy out in Middleton, and that's the functional value there is groundwater connections.
Okay. We're talking with Katie Bielfuss, who's the Outreach Program Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And if you have comments and questions about wetlands near you, or whether or not your favorite wetland is on this list, why not give us a call and get on the air at 800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. We have lines open for you at the moment. One of the things that I was interested in is that if someone wanted to follow along at your website and check this list of 100 sites, where do they go?
Thank you for asking. It's wisconsinwetlands.org, And there's a suite of web pages there for the Wetland Gems program. There's a link on the main page to access those. You'll find a description of the program and why we did it and what we hope it will help achieve, how the sites were selected. And then most importantly, it has a map of the state indicating where all these sites are located, as well as a link to a one-page fact sheet for each of the 100 Wetland Gems that detail each of those fact sheets details the ecology and significance of that site, flora and fauna that you might find at that site on a visit, threats that face that site, that site is challenged by, whether that's invasive species or the emerald ash borer. I know Governor Doyle declared this to be Emerald Ash Borer Education Week to try to raise the level understanding of the folks in Wisconsin of how important a critical problem that poses to our state, and also access information for each of those sites. So that all that information is available on the website. There are PDF documents that people can download and use to their convenience. And particularly as we all head out to enjoy Memorial Day weekend in our wonderful state, it's a great opportunity to take a look at the map, see if there's any of these sites nearby areas where you plan to spend your Memorial Day weekend, and bring along a fact sheet with you so that you can take your family out to enjoy a Wisconsin wetland as part of this Memorial Day weekend.
What have you had to leave out in compiling the list?
Well, one important point to make about our Wetland Gems list is that there are thousands and thousands of wetlands in the state of Wisconsin that are not on this list, and in no way do we intend this list to mean that those sites are not important. All wetlands in the state of Wisconsin are important. All wetlands deserve protection and restoration and management so that they can provide their many wonderful services to our communities and so that they're available to us. So we did have to leave out a number of different sites, and we wanted to, as we were talking about the wetland community types before and how we selected these sites, we chose sites that represented a diversity of wetland community types found in each of 8 geographic regions in the state of Wisconsin. So we looked at a particular geographic region and we said, what of the 12 wetland types that we have in Wisconsin are available in this area? And we chose samples, the sites within that region, to be able to highlight those types in those areas. There's certain parts of the state that just don't have certain kinds of wetlands because they're just not found there. There's not the ecological conditions for those wetlands to be
looking
there.
At the map of Wisconsin, sort of central Wisconsin is sort of the barren area when it comes to wetlands.
Well, and a lot of the northern portion of Wisconsin, north central portion of Wisconsin, is famous for its forests, and so that's the main natural community that's protected and valued up in that region. But there's little wetland pockets in there, and we tried to find those as examples. So it's true that there are certain parts of the state that because of the soil conditions or climatic conditions don't have as many wetlands, or they have a different suite of wetland types found there.
All right. We're talking with Katie Bielfuss, and if you'd like to join the conversation, the number for you is 800-642-1234. Let's start with Nancy in, is it Ewan, Michigan?
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi
there. The reason I was calling is because a couple of years ago, we enrolled in a federal wetlands project and were able to restore 23 acres of our property in a wetlands restoration project. It's a series of ponds. We had natural willows in there already growing. And within 2 years, I should say the first year that we had our wetlands that it was actually established, we had 53 different birds that we never had before on our property, mostly warblers, wetland birds. We now have cranes coming in. We've had swans land in our wetlands, ducks, geese, every kind of wetland bird you could imagine, well, in the northern Michigan that you could imagine anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been phenomenal. The number of ticks that we encounter are far less. Mosquitoes have dropped. We have swallows, all different kinds of swallows have moved in. It's a paradise. And we put 40 acres in a conservation easement. And I just want to let people know that there are programs out there if you do own a chunk of land to put your land in a restoration project. It really pays back all kinds of dividends.
Go ahead,
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for bringing that to the public's attention. And there are a number of programs. The Wetland Reserve Program is one of those that works out of the NRCS. And we also want to support the restoration of wetlands and have, in fact, published a wetland restoration handbook that's designed for landowners like yourself to help walk you through the steps that you might need to take in considering the restoration of a wetland. And we have that available free to the public. If you can contact our office at info@wisconsinwetlands.org, we'd be happy to send you a copy of that. And thanks to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for partnering with us on putting that together.
And your telephone number for those that don't have that internet access?
Thank you. 608-250-9971.
Nancy, thanks so much.
Program, and what I was one other point I was going to make is that because we put a perpetual easement on it, everything was free to us. We did not pay
That's
anything.
Great. That's great.
Sounds
so
great.
It was amazing.
Nancy, thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you and your experiences. Let's go to Jackie in Middleton next. Hello, Jackie.
Hi. I live real near the Middleton Conservancy, the Pheasant Branch. And my husband and I spend many times a week there. And we're just concerned about the farming. And we didn't know if there's anybody we could discuss. There's a farmer that lives right at the edge of this conservancy that actually spreads liquid manure thick. And it's, we feel, running right into this beautiful area that supposedly is a wetland that is supposed to protect our groundwater. Is there anything or anyone that we can contact, or is that just going to have to stay the way it is?
Well, I'm not familiar with exactly the situation, but there is an excellent friends group that works on the conservation of Pheasant Branch called the Friends of Pheasant Branch. I don't have their website address with me, but I'm sure you could find it, or if you contact our office, we'll be happy to get it to you. And that group is very active in working with all of the landowners and agencies that might be involved in this situation and could help you point you in the right direction, and perhaps they're already working on this issue. I just don't know, but they are very active and very engaged. So,
that's a good thought, yes, because it is beautiful. So, okay, thank you very
much.
All
right, good luck to you, Jackie. Thanks very much for the call. Our guest is Katie Bialfus, who's the Outreach Program Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, as we talk about the list of 100 wetland gems that they have put together and was announced on Monday. At the Cherokee Marsh.
We had a wonderful day on Monday, despite the fact that Mother Nature threw us a wrench and gave us a little bit of rain. But it was a beautiful day out there nonetheless. We had cranes in the background and a number of other wildlife and bird species that were welcoming us to the site. And we had Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton and Tup Wells from the Dean County Executive's Office and the DNR Secretary, Matt Frank, was there, and a number of representatives from the conservation community who were very excited about this announcement. And importantly, we also had landowners from across the state who journeyed down to accept their certificates from us in recognition of their sites that they manage. And we had exciting news, which perhaps I can share with you here today. Mm-hmm. There's an international program that recognizes important wetlands. It's called the Ramsar International Convention on Wetlands. The United States is a signer to that international convention and nominates sites throughout the state, throughout the nation, excuse me. Currently, Wisconsin had only Horicon Marsh as a wetland of international importance, and I'm proud to say that last week, the Upper Mississippi National Wildlife Refuge was designated a Ramsar Wetland of International Importance. So we'll hear more about that, but that's a wonderful recognition of the fact that these wetland resources are not only important at a local, regional, or statewide level, but in fact receive international recognition for their importance.
All right. We'll come back and talk to Terry, and we'll take your call in just a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk about 100 wetland gems with Katie Bialfus of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. How long has the Wisconsin Wetlands Association been in service?
We're coming up on 40 years, Jim, and it was started as a local organization when the Beltline Extension was going through the South Madison there. So initially had a local focus here trying to improve the way that road went through the marshes in that part of the city, and you can see that effort did in fact not prevent the Beltline, but made it a lot more sensitive to those wetland features. And so we've grown over the years, obviously. Now we've got a staff of, I believe, we're up to 7 now. It's still not enough people to do the amount of work that we have to do to preserve wetlands in the state, but we work hard and care about this issue. So Thank you for that question.
Sure. You introduced this list of 100 wetland gems, and people can find out what they are and go and study, and each of them has a fact sheet to go with it at wisconsinwetlands.org/gems.htm.
That's right.
All right. Let's go to Terry in Oshkosh next. Terry, what's on your mind?
My question is, after getting shut down on an aquaculture project by the DNR because what I was trying to set up was allegedly in wetlands, I have to ask the DNR lady how the DNR wound up on a website called Wisconsin Wetlands Destroyed, which is a watchdog group that tracks property or wetlands around Wisconsin that are being destroyed. When the DNR did their facility at Peshtigo on the Peshtigo River, they made that website because they destroyed about an acre of wetland that came in off the Peshtigo River to put in their parking lot. Now, I understand that government agencies are not subject to the same rules and regulations as a private property owner is. But with the DNR's pro-wetland agenda, I guess when it comes to leadership, I've always believed that you lead by example, not by talking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time for whatever is convenient.
Terry, you're misinformed here. Our guest is not with the DNR.
Well, but it's a wetland issue. It's a wetland issue, and I'm just curious about, you know, how we can want to preserve these wetlands, yet we've got a state agency that's bulldozing them at their convenience. If she has any comment, that's fine. If not, it's understandable.
She has a comment.
Well, I don't know that particular situation, but I do want to point out some good work the DNR is doing to help private landowners recognize when they have wetlands on their property so that property owners can proactively understand the responsibilities that they have if they've got wetlands on their property. The Wisconsin Wetlands Association, worked with the DNR and the Wisconsin Realtors Association to put together a wetland toolkit, which provides information for landowners both before they purchase a property or following the purchase of a property so that they can identify whether they've got a property with wetlands on it, and if so, what restrictions they may or may not face in any sort of development. So that information is available on the DNR's website. I can't comment as to Terry's question regarding that facility. I just simply don't know.
Terry, thanks very much for the call. Hope you get an answer. And let's go to John in Madison. Hello, John.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call, and thanks so much to WPR for putting on this show and inviting Katie. Wisconsin Wetlands Association is a great group. I'm the president of the Friends of Cherokee Marsh. We were proud to be a partner with WWA in rolling out the program on Monday at Cherokee Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly, there's a website people can go in the area to find out about what's going on there. Almost every week, there's something happening at the marsh. It's CherokeeMarsh.org, and we list a lot of partners' events there, hikes for birds, kayaking outings, trips on the trails, invasive species removal. It's just you can't miss it. Each week, something's going on there. And we really think WWA has stumbled onto a great program. Well, they probably thought about it for years, but it's a great staff, and executing this program is wonderful. And I'm just so glad that you're providing time for Katie to talk today. I don't really have a question, but I wanted to tell folks that CherokeeMarsh.org, if they go there, they'll find out why this made the gems list, and we hope to someday be a site that's even more ecologically stable and sustainable as well. But we have all these other things going on there now that are just so fantastic. Thank you so much, Katie.
All right, John.
Thanks
very much for the call. And you depend on these groups, do you not, to make sure that wetlands are being managed or cared for around the state?
We do. As a small nonprofit organization, we don't get involved in land acquisition or on-the-ground restoration ourselves, but we try to identify groups like the Friends of Cherokee Marsh, Friends of Pheasant Brants. There's dozens of groups like this where the local community members have recognized the importance of the wetland resources in their community and have come together both for public education and for involvement in policy setting and issues related to development in their community. And that's really a fundamental role that we rely on the citizens to do as an organization that's not small enough to fight all of those battles. We're more than happy to provide as many resources as we're capable of in terms of arming citizens so that they can fight local battles in their community. And I do want to point out on that subject that we've got a suite of web pages on our website called Protecting Wetlands that walks citizens through the steps that they need to take if they're concerned about development development in their community that's affecting wetlands, and they want to know how they can prevent that or how they can redirect it. That'll walk you through the steps to do that.
Well, we talked about the opening of this list of 100 wetland gems at Cherokee Marsh. You've got an event coming up starting on Thursday, tomorrow.
We do. We're delighted to be part of the Door County Festival of Nature. And they've got a suite of more than 43 field trips to natural sites in Door County, 11 of which are featuring wetland gem sites. So we'll be partnering with them to provide materials about wetland gems to all of the field trip attendees at that event. And we also are delighted to be the Friday evening keynote speaker, and we'll recognize landowners of these wetland gem sites in that region and talk more about why they're so important.
And if somebody wants to find out more information about attending that, what is a website they can go to?
I suggest they contact the Ridges Sanctuary, who's the one of the lead organizers on that event, and their web address is ridgessanctuary.org/festival.htm.
And on various other times during the year, you're going to be celebrating these wetland gems, and where are some of the other places that people will be able to gather?
We've got 7 more events later this year between this weekend and October. I've got a busy year ahead of me, although I'm delighted it's going to give me a chance to get out and visit some of these sites that I haven't seen myself yet. We will be in Superior in July, July 23rd. We'll be partnering with the North Lakeland Discovery Center in Manitowish Waters on August 13th. We'll be partnering with the Ho-Chunk Nation and the Kickapoo Valley Reserve to have a GEMS event at the Valley Reserve in Lafarge in Vernon County on August 29th. And then September 19th, we're delighted to be part of the Nisida Whooping Crane and Wildlife Festival there on September 19th. September 26th, we'll be at Chewaukee Prairie in southeast Wisconsin, partnering with the Nature Conservancy to bring you that event. And last but definitely not least, is particularly in the eyes of my boss, whose graduate work was done at Crex Meadows. It's her favorite place in the world. We'll be celebrating the wetland gems of the northwest Wisconsin there at the Crex Meadows Wildlife Festival.
We're talking with Katie Bielfuss of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and if you'd like to join the conversation, we have a couple lines open at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Ben in Mequon next. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I'd like to point out my bad experiences with a neighboring farmer that I've had ongoing for a number of years. I've got approximately 2 acres of wetland areas that I developed privately myself, and the issues occurred with winter manure spreading. I contacted my county land conservation department and the DNR, and because my waters are not waters of the state, they were unenforceable violations to the neighboring farmer. So I left, holding the bag every spring, seeing the dead frogs and the dead fish. Now, this last spring, I have the problem again with atrazine runoff from the same farmer. My ponds are virtually dead. And again, I get no cooperation in terms of how our state laws are written for protecting private wetlands, mm-hmm. because they are not waters of the state. To me, I feel as though our laws are very weak.
Katie, your reaction?
Yeah, well, it's a difficult question, and each situation is unique because there are specific definitions in the regulations regarding what can and can't be enforced and protected by which regulation. And again, because they're so site-specific, these cases, I don't want to comment because I don't know on this particular issue. And it sounds like you contacted the right people, so I just don't know how to answer that question. I do want to say, in defense of farmers, we've heard 2 examples here of folks who have had problems with farmers, and we also want to point out landowners like the first one that we had today, folks who are farmers that do love the land and want to take care of it and do take some of their fields out of rotation and crop and do wetland restoration on their properties. And so there are issues with farming that affect wetlands in a negative way, but there are also a lot of farmers out there who are doing a lot of good work for wetlands through restoration as well.
Ben, thanks very much. We appreciate hearing from you.
Okay.
The number is 800-642-1234 as we talk about Wisconsin wetlands. And let's go to Fred in Wisconsin Rapids next. Hi, Fred.
Hi, I'm glad I caught your program. I own some land in the town of New Hope in 4-H County, and I'm thinking about putting a wetland scrape in this fall, and I don't know if that's been addressed yet on the program.
Well, I mentioned earlier that we've got a Wisconsin Wetlands Owner's Handbook for wetland restoration, and we'd be happy to send you a copy of that.
I've already requested one.
Oh, great.
And what is a wildlife scrape? Tell me what a wildlife scrape is, Fred.
Wildlife scrape is where they make a depression in the earth 1 to 4 feet deep, and they don't make it any deeper than that because it would be considered a pond.
Okay.
And you can get funding, so I can get up to $3,500 towards the cost of the scrape, and then that goes in the piece of property that it goes into the Conservation Reserve Program. And the only problem that I've got where I'm located, but I'm kind of a stubborn German, is my land doesn't hold water. So they're going to bring clay in, and they'll bring clay in up to 2 feet of it, and then they'll go over it with a dozer, and then over with it with a roller to make like a sealer. And then they'll add 6 inches of soil on top of that. And then the Land Conservation Department, the rules say then you have to have at least a 20-foot buffer around the scrape that has to be planted in wildlife grasses and flowers, and they'll pay up to 90% of the cost of the seed. So right now I'm going out on bid, and I'm hoping that this one person can obtain some clay from Polonia, because when you have to have clay trucked in, it's very expensive just for the trucking. So I wanted to throw that out so people can contact their land conservation departments in their counties and inquire about something like that, too. Now, if you're fortunate enough to live in an area where it's swampy and it holds water, then it's a simple process then to put a scrape in. But a scrape attracts a lot more wildlife than what a pond would. The only other question I had was, I belong to the local Audubon Club, which is a very good club in the Stevens Point area. Does this organization do presentations before clubs like that? And if so, how would I contact them?
We certainly have done presentations for Audubon groups and other groups and are happy to do that as our schedule allows. So you can contact me. I guess the easiest address, so I don't have to spell my last name, is gems@wisconsinwetlands.org.
gems@wisconsinwetlands.org. And the telephone number?
608-250-9971.
Okay, well, I'll be in contact with you because
It
sounds like it'd be a very interesting topic.
Thanks
sounds
very
good,
much.
Fred. Thanks very much.
And thanks for lauding your county conservationists. They do great work.
Let's go to Marty next. Marty, what's on your mind?
Hi. I have 20 acres in Washington County. It's Kettle Moraine. And I have a hill, but I have a lot of lowlands as well. And I have wondered for a long time if there was some way somebody could help me turn the lowlands into wetlands.
That's a great question.
And I've got 3 lakes right across the street.
We have a service on our website that's a wetland resource directory where we offer it as a service to wetland professionals, whether they be state agencies, local agencies, or private individuals. They can voluntarily come and register there and list their information so you can query by region or by expertise that you're looking for and find a wetland professional in your area that might be able to assist you with that. And so that's my suggestion, is to invite somebody out to your property. And you might start with a county conservationist as well to see if they can even direct you into other folks that might be interested in your community.
How do I get in touch with them?
The county conservationists? I would have to look that up for you, and I'd be happy to do that. Generally speaking, your county will have a website, and you might go through UW Extension as well, because many of those county agencies can work together with the Extension.
I used to work for UW Extension, know them.
Okay.
All right.
Marty, thanks very much for the call, and good luck to you in your quest to have wetlands on your property. Do you run into this occasionally, people who are thinking for a long time about wetlands, and is it possible to do, is there a question?
We do, and we run into a lot of people who want to increase the wildlife on their property. They want to increase the number of birds that they get to see, and it was so nice to hear that call early on of somebody who had that experience and could share that with us. And one of the things that makes wetlands both so wonderful and also so difficult to protect is the fact that they aren't easy to define. They aren't easy to necessarily see on the landscape. I mean, you look at a pond and you know it's a pond, or you look at a river or a stream and you know it's a river, but the wetlands don't always have that. And there's particularly the ephemeral ponds are one particular type that, because they have water in them at some parts of the year and not at other parts of the year, many times of the year, they don't look like wetlands. But during that critical spring high water period, they provide really, really important habitat for salamanders and amphibians, because they provide standing water that don't have fish. And so those little creatures can have a chance to get started in their nursery and head out into life without getting munched. I also wanted to touch on a point about insects. And many people think about wetlands as being sort of the source of disease and pestilence and mosquitoes. And I was so happy to hear our first caller talk about the fact that mosquitoes actually went down in her area after they did their wetland restoration. Because we find that because in a healthy functioning wetland system, there's fish, there's birds, there's other critters that like to eat insects, that need to eat insects and their larvae in order to survive. And so that if you've got a functioning wetland, the number of mosquitoes is actually lower than in, say, a back lot where you've got standing tires with collecting water inside, or other areas where you can get standing water. Those are much more intense mosquito breeding sites than wetlands are.
Let's spend just a minute talking about the various kinds of wetlands. For instance, open bog and coniferous bog. I imagine that coniferous bog has trees and that the open bog doesn't have as many trees.
That doesn't have as many would be true. And I should point out that, you know, nature doesn't come in little boxes. We like to put nature in little boxes because it helps us understand and make sense of what we're looking at. And so when we talk about wetlands, there's a wonderful continuum from open to treed, and we divide these lines in order to help us understand them. So generally speaking, open bogs are more open and tend to have more open water, whereas in a coniferous bog, you'll have more trees and more shade and less open water. But they are both bogs, and it has a lot to do with the water source in those bogs and the acidity of the water. And the plants that live there thrive on that kind of a condition.
What are the conditions that would provide for fen?
A fen is a sort of, in some ways, the opposite of a bog, in that instead of having more acidic waters, it's got more alkaline waters. And generally speaking, fens are associated with groundwater percolations, with seeps and other sources where the groundwater is actually coming up to the surface of the land. And so those sites have a different suite of plants that have dependencies on that alkaline water conditions.
All right. These wetlands of Wisconsin are in a handout that is available from the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. All they have to do is go to the website?
That's right. All of the materials, we've got a folder that describes the Wetland Gem program and provides the map and list of all of the sites. And we've got, as Jim just mentioned, this Wetlands of Wisconsin guide, which have beautiful photos of each of the 12 wetland types and descriptions of the plants and animals that live in those types of wetlands. And all of those things are available on our website, wisconsinwetlands.org/gem.html, but you can get there from the main page as well. We've got a beautiful logo that will follow through all those pages that can connect you with that information. And as Jim mentioned before, we've also got a one-page fact sheet for each of the 100 wetland gems that talks about the community types that are found there, the species and flora and fauna and threats to those sites. So those are all available for download at our website, wisconsinwetlands.org.
Marie in Jefferson, let's give you a chance to get into the conversation. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. We have some property in Jefferson County that right now is we're thinking about might be good for wetland restoration. It's categorized or taxed at recreation land, and it's higher taxes than the rest of our property. And I'm just wondering if you're aware of that, or do you know anything about the higher taxes for something like a wetland as opposed to farmland, and how something can be done about that so that there can be more wetland encouragement?
Sure. The taxation issue is a tricky one, and it's one that our organization has been working on for more than 5 years. I'm not the one on our staff with the expertise, but I will tell you what I know and would be happy to connect you with Aaron O'Brien in our office, who can help you even more. There is, in some situations, a tax disincentive for moving property from one class of taxation, be it agriculture or recreation, into a wetlands classification. And that prevents many landowners from wanting to do wetland restoration on their property because their taxes would go up if they did that restoration. So we have been working on a number of fronts to try and address this issue and to try and remove this disincentive, because it's not in the interest of the state to discourage wetland restoration. In fact, the state wants to encourage wetland restoration. And so it's a matter of the functionality of the law and the details there. And we are working on that problem. We haven't found the perfect solution yet, but we are continuing that effort.
Okay, good.
All right, Marie.
Is there someone in your office I could talk to?
There is. Yep, Erin O'Brien is her name.
Okay.
And the phone number is 608-250-9971.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Marie, thank you, and good luck to you. I hope that things work out. Let's go to Paul in Door County. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I just had a quick comment. It's a noble cause to preserve wetlands and shoreland preservation as well, and I, of course, support the effort. But year after year, I keep seeing more and more land open up for either commercial development or private upscale residential areas. This year, yet another example, there's a 5-lot subdivision and where there's 2 feet of standing water in the woods right now. If someone's going to buy that, I've got some swampland in Florida they'd be interested in. It's just amazing how we can, you know, make progress in preservation, or at least legislatively, but in practice, I just keep seeing more and more wetlands being filled in and developed. And if it ever is prevented, it's by an organization such as the Nature Conservancy, who ends up paying full market value for the property just to keep it out of the development.
I want to give Katie a chance to respond as we're drawing close to the end of the program.
It is an ongoing struggle. It's a struggle we face every day. There is still wetland degradation. You know, we've lost more than almost half of Wisconsin's wetlands thus far, and we want to try and minimize that loss from now on. It is tricky because it's a case by case basis when these properties come up for sale. If it relies on citizens like you that are watching those sales and watching for the information to be able to try and prevent them if possible. Again, the wetland toolkit that the DNR has put together should help with this, because it will help identify wetlands on a property before we get to the end of a sale kind of situation where it's too late to fight something. So that's a terrific resource that I hope will help prevent some of those issues in the future.
Paul, thanks very much for your call and for urging people to respond. We appreciate hearing from you. Sorry we can't get to more calls, but we've run out of time as we've been talking with Katie Bielfuss, Outreach Program Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, which has selected 100 wetland sites in the state to recognize and celebrate. And you can see the list there at wisconsinwetlands.org/gems.htm. Katie, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And good luck in the next year in recognizing all of these sites.
Thank you so much.
If you'd like a CD of the program, it's available through the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. I'm Jim Packard. Brittany DeAnda is our on-air producer, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.